But we're in this new season, this new year. And as we kick off this season, you may have already heard us mention, we kick off this season in the beginning of every year with what we call 21 days of prayer. And in January, we kick it off with prayer and fasting. And fasting, if you're not familiar with that, maybe you're new to this whole thing and you don't know a thing about fasting. Fasting, just in a simple, succinct phrase or definition, if you will, is us saying no to things so that way we can say yes more to Jesus. So that way we can say yes more and more to Jesus. And so fasting means that we set aside certain things. Maybe it's, you know, food or certain types of food or certain habits or, you know, social media or certain hobbies. But for 21 days, we say, you know what, we're going to say no to those things so that way we can say yes to Jesus. So that way we can get closer to him and go deeper in our relationship with him. I believe that these next 21 days, when we start 21 days of prayer and fasting next Sunday, we always see God do great things in that season of prayer and fasting. And I believe that this season is not going to be any different. I believe that actually it is going to be different. God's going to do more. He's going to do greater because he has greater in store for you. And so starting next Sunday, we'll start our 21-day journey of prayer and fasting. And on our website, we have all the information that you may need to know about that and how you can find out how you can get plugged in during that time. But then one of the things that we do during Saturday morning prayer or during 21 days of prayer is Saturday morning corporate prayer time gatherings where we all just come together on Saturday just for an hour from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We have a little bit of worship, and it's just an intense time of prayer, man. And we're praying for God to do great things. We've seen people come in here during 21 days of prayer and fasting during our Saturday morning prayer and get their prayers answered. We've seen healings take place. We've seen God do great things. And so I would encourage you this year, do something different. Lean in. Everybody say lean in. Lean in. I want you to lean in this year. I don't want you to approach this year casually, but I want you to really lean in this year and say, man, this year I really want to go deeper in my relationship with God, which is what this series is all about. This series, Greater, is all about that. It's all about you and I experiencing the greater that God wants us to experience, which brought us to John chapter 3 today. And so I'm excited to start this series that we'll be in for the next few weeks. And really the genesis for this series kind of was birthed out of just a time of prayer that I had with God as the year ended last year. I went on kind of, if you will, just a personal pastoral retreat just to kind of reconnect with the Lord in a greater way and just kind of get away and just have some intentional time of prayer. And Ariel blessed me to be able to do that, and she took care of the kids and just allowed me to be able to kind of just get away for about a good 2 days to just refresh. And I believe all of us in here, you need to have some times in your life where you can kind of step away from some things so that way you can reconnect with God in a greater way and get clarity and get direction and get understanding. And so for me, I kind of just went on just this little 2-day retreat right up in Williamsburg and just got away, did a little bit of shopping, went to the outlet. You know, that's how the Lord speaks to me. You got to know how he speaks to you. He speaks to me in shopping and in movies. But it was just a great time. But one of the things that constantly would continue to arise just during my time of prayer and just seeking God, as I was looking at all these different scriptures and just reading and meditating on all these different scriptures, most of the scriptures that I kept reading as I was praying into not just what the focus was that God wanted us to have for our house, meaning my family and I, but just for our church as well, like where God wanted to take us as a church in this next season. And the word that constantly continued to arise just during my time with God was the word greater. And as that word was just really dropped in my spirit just during that time, it was becoming very clear of what God was calling us to and what God wants us to experience as the people of God. And I think this word is so appropriate for you and just where you are right now, that you don't settle for anything less than God's best. That God has greater for you. Amen, somebody? That God wants to do great things in your life. That there is more that God has for you in your family, in your marriage, in all the different areas of your life. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter how much money you make. That God has something greater for you. He wants to do great things in your life. And he also wants to do great things through your life, which brings us to John chapter 3, Because here in John chapter 3, there is a man by the name of John, and more specifically, he is known as John the Baptist. And the reason why he was called John the Baptist was because he was considered to be the forerunner or the one who would come before Jesus would essentially begin his ministry. He was somebody that God used to usher in Jesus's ministry. He was a forerunner of sorts. And John was constantly preaching this message, repent for the kingdom of God is coming. And he was constantly pointing people or encouraging people to put their faith in God and the coming kingdom that God would usher in through his son, Jesus Christ. And when people would believe this message, they would be baptized. And John was baptizing just endless amounts of people. That's why he was known as John the Baptist. But John the Baptist was a very central character in the plan of God. You look all throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you constantly see John being used by God to announce the arrival of Jesus. He was being used by God in a great way. God was doing great things in his life. And as he's doing this, Jesus steps on the scene. Because John's whole ministry was really just meant to be an opening act for Jesus. That it was meant to be, y'all ever been to a restaurant, you got an appetizer, and that thing was just meant to hold you over until the main course? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Essentially, John was the appetizer to this whole thing. And he was constantly helping people to realize that there is someone greater coming after me. There is somebody greater who is coming behind me. And then in verse 25, in verse 26, there is something interesting that happens. It says these words. An argument developed between some of John's disciples. In other words, John had people who were following him, those that he had maybe baptized and that he was teaching about the kingdom of God and the word of God. Disciple literally means follower or learner. And so some of his disciples and a certain Jew, they were arguing over the matter of ceremonial washing, speaking of baptism. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, being Jesus, the one you testified about. Look, he is baptizing. And everyone is going to him. Now, I want to kind of modernize and contemporize what was happening here. John's followers, in plain language, are getting jealous because more people are beginning to follow Jesus than they are now John. And his people are like, hold on, bro. This man that you kept talking about, he got more followers on Instagram than you now. Like, there's more people that's talking about him. There's more buzz about this guy, Jesus, than there is about you. There's a comparison here, and there's a competition here. Let me pause parenthetically and help you understand something. Whenever you fall into the comparison trap, and whenever you fall into the competition trap, comparing your life to other people, competing against other people, thinking that your life has to be better than other people, or thinking that you should be further along than other people, you will always be robbed of contentment and fulfillment. Maybe this year, you make this year not a year where you are focusing on trying to keep up with everybody else, where you stop trying to get in the in crowd and stop trying to compare your life to others, which oftentimes leads to great pride or to great sorrow. Pride from the standpoint of, oh, I'm better than them. Sorrow to the point of, I don't measure up. God, that's not God's will for your life. And I think John understood that, which is why he says what he says next in verse 27. He says these words, after they come to him and they say all this, to this John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. So I want you to see what's happening here. John, as his disciples kind of come to him and are like, yo, John, this guy Jesus is becoming more popular than you. There's more people following him than they are actually following you. That's like, man, we're not cool with that. And John kind of shifts the attention from him. He says, hold on, it's really not about me. He begins to highlight the fact that his life is not about himself. He highlights the fact that his life is about something greater. It's about, more specifically, someone greater. And that something and that someone who was greater is Jesus. This is why John the Baptist was used in a great way, because he understood this principle. He understood that his life was not about himself. And I want to help us understand something about this year. In order for 2020 to be your greatest year or to be a greater year maybe than previous years, it comes down to something simple that John the Baptist teaches us, and I need us to get this. If you want this year to be greater, you have to make Jesus greater. I'll say it again because I feel like I didn't get it. In order for this year to be greater, Jesus has to become greater. Can I say it like this? Let's make Jesus great again. Maja, make Jesus great again. I don't know. I'm failing right now. No. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus is already great unto himself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The question is he great in your life? The question is he the greatest influence in my life? Is he the greatest voice in my life? John helps us understand that to be used by God in a great way and to see God do great things in your life, it comes down to the simple truth. Make Jesus greater. I'll say it like this. I want you to take a screenshot of this, that we can experience greater in our lives when we allow Jesus to become greater in our lives. That in order for us to experience greater, Jesus has to become greater. That's the message in a nutshell today. If you were looking for something really, really, really deep, that is the deep. That Jesus must become greater. You may be asking yourself, Pastor Edwin, what does it mean for Jesus to become greater in our life? How do I make Jesus greater in my life? Jesus becomes greater in your life when, number one, your focus is on Jesus. Jesus becomes greater in your life when your focus is on Jesus. Notice what John says in verse 27. I am not the Messiah. I am not the one. I'm not the one. I'm not the one that everybody needs to be going crazy about. I am not the one that everybody should be writing home about. No. I am not that guy. That one is Jesus. And all throughout John's ministry and his life, the focal point of John's life and ministry was not himself. It was always on Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the different gospel accounts telling the same story from different vantage points. They were all talking about John. And John always is talking about Jesus, which shows us that this brother's focus was on Jesus. There was a song back in the day by this Christian group. I can't remember the name, but the name of the song was Jesus Freak. And it was like all they were about was Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It always comes back to Jesus. The focal point of our lives for 2020 needs to be on Jesus. We can get into all the other stuff. We can talk about how to be blessed in your finances. We can talk about how to be blessed in your relationships. We're going to do a relationship series next month. I promise you it's going to be good. But before we get to all of that, we got to get the core thing the core thing. We got to make the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is this. Make Jesus the focus of your life. Jesus has to be the center of your life. I'm not just talking about putting him first. I'm talking about putting him at the center. I'm talking about putting Jesus at the center, just like your heart is at the center of your chest and the center of your body. Some of you guys are like, well, technically, Pastor, it's a little bit in this direction. Type A people. But the principle is, it is from there that everything else flows. That is what Jesus is supposed to be for us. He is meant to be the center, and Scripture talks so much about it. There's so many different scriptures that speak of Jesus being the center of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here's what the Apostle Paul says. For if we are out of our mind, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion. If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves. But who? For the one who died for them and was raised. Who are we supposed to live for? Jesus. Why? Because Jesus lived for us, and he died for us, and he was raised for us. We live for him. Jesus is our focus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. of God who loved me. Why do we make Jesus the focus of our lives? Because Jesus loved us, because he saved us, because he shed his blood on the cross for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Jesus gave his all for us. In response to that is to live for him. We focus in on him. Paul doesn't stop there. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. He says, I once thought these things were valuable. What were the things that Paul was talking about? Well, you got to read verses 1 through 6. In short, his accomplishments, his status, his position, his influence, any type of power that he may have had, all the degrees, if we were to contemporize it, the degrees, money, the houses that we live in, the clothes that we wear, the cars that we drive, the people that we know, the popularity that we have, all those things, Paul says, I once thought were valuable. I once thought they had some value, but now I consider them worthless. Why? Because of what Christ has done. What has Christ done? He has paid my sin debt. He did something for me that I could not ever do for myself. And so all those other things that I once thought were worth something are worth nothing compared to knowing Jesus. He says it's all about him. He says, yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. That word garbage in the original Greek language of the New Testament is the Greek word skibala, which translates to dung or feces or manure. I'll stop right there. I think you get the picture. Paul says, it's trash. It's worth nothing. All those things in comparison to Jesus, they don't pale. They pale in comparison compared to who Jesus is and what he has done. Jesus is the greatest. I saw a t-shirt not too long ago. I think I'm going to get it. That says, God is dope. I love that. God is dope. Now, obviously, God is not dope as in the substance dope. Some of y'all are like, wow, what a minute. No, the spirit behind it is God is the greatest. The sentiment behind it is that it's all about Jesus. And Paul doesn't stop there. He says, I counted all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. What is he giving us here? He's giving us a very dense but simple theological understanding of how we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and how we get into a relationship with God. That the way and the path to a relationship with God is not by what you do. It is by you trusting in what Jesus has done for you on the cross. That is a good place to say amen. That your salvation is not predicated based upon how many times you get it right. Your salvation in Jesus is based upon what Jesus has done for you. That is why it's called grace. We are saved by grace through faith. But Paul doesn't stop there. Then he says this. Oh, it gets good. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Then he says this. This is big boy Christianity. I want to suffer with him. Suffer. Oh, man, we don't like to suffer. We don't like to go through nothing. Some of us, when we got saved, we thought that following Jesus meant we would go through nothing. And then you got busted in the mouth, in the teeth by Satan and by life. And you may have been confused like, Jesus, I thought you were going to keep me from the valleys. And Jesus said, no. In my word, I told you, in this world, you will have many troubles. But take joy because I've overcome the world. So Paul says, I want to know him even in his sufferings. Why? Because there's something about God that you can only learn when you suffer. There's something about the comfort of God that you can only experience when you've experienced loss. There are some things about God you will never fully comprehend unless you go through something. Some of us have been trying to avoid the difficulty. And I'm not wishing it on you, but what I'm saying is when you go through it, God will be with you in it. If God is not with you in it, then the psalm writer wouldn't be able to say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. No. In order for you to write that, that meant you had to go through some dark moments, some bad moments, some painful moments, some ugly moments. But the good news of the gospel is that when you went through those dark moments, those painful moments, those discouraging moments, those difficult moments, God was with you, not just in a mountain, but he was also with you in the valley. Certain things that you experience when you suffer with him and sharing with him in his death, Paul says, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. That there are certain things that you and I experience when we go through low moments, but all of this is contingent and connected to one thing, focusing on Jesus. This year needs to be the year where you say, I'm focusing on Jesus. I'm shaping my entire life around Jesus. Whatever he wants me to do, I'm doing it. Whatever he wants me to say, I'm saying it. Wherever he wants me to go, I'm going. Whatever job he wants me to take, I'm taking it. Whatever job he doesn't want me to take, I'm not going to take it. Whatever relationship he wants me to get in, I'm going to get in. If he wants me to get out of a relationship, no amens there. Jesus is my focus. But what happens when Jesus isn't my focus? Here's what he says in John 15. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Watch what he says. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, without me, your life is not going to be fruitful. You might make a whole lot of money, but you won't have a whole lot of contentment. And you won't have a whole lot of fulfillment. And no matter how much money in the world you have, it can't do nothing about your sin problem. That only I can do something about that. Only I can reconcile you back to the Father. Only I can give you peace. Only I can give you comfort. Only I can give you fulfillment. Only I can give you satisfaction. Only I can give you purpose. Only I can give you destiny. Only I can give you a calling. Only I can bring forth true provision that never runs out and continues to go on and on and on. Only I can do that. But when you step outside, that's when things begin to fall apart. When Jesus is not our focus, our life will be out of focus. When Jesus is not our focus, our lives will be out of focus. It's going to be like when Jesus is not the focal point of our life and he's not the one who's giving us the vision, it's like us walking around like this. Y'all ever seen that meme that's like floating around on social media? And it's like a lady, she got glasses on, and she's looking like this. When Jesus is not our focus, our lives are out of focus. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You got contacts, you have glasses, and you know without those things, you are blind as a bat. Can't see nothing. What? Is that a four? Oh, that's a nine, right? Like, and here's what happens. If you can't see properly, you can't function properly. Which is why part of the getting a license is taking a vision test. Because if you don't have correct vision, not only do you have the potential to wreck your life, but to wreck somebody else's life. And I don't know about you, there's been plenty of times where my life got out of focus, and because of that, I made some wrong decisions. I did some things that I wasn't supposed to do. It set me back. But thanks be unto God that the grace of God and the mercy of God has a way of correcting our vision so that way, though we were once blind, now I can see. Jesus says, let's get your focus right. Without Jesus, our lives are pointless. They're out of focus. They have no meaning, no significance. Most of all, we stay dead to our sin. And maybe for some of us up to this point, your life has been out of focus because the focus of your life has not been on Jesus, but maybe it's been on your career. Maybe it's been on your family more than it's been on Jesus. Maybe it's been on your fitness more than Jesus. Maybe it's been on accomplishments more than Jesus. Maybe it's been on how many bags you can get. More than Jesus. Yeah, the bag is good, but Jesus is better. Maybe it's been about how many people will like me and how many people will accept me and about the car and about the getting the bigger house. And don't get me wrong, God wants to bless you with those things, but those things were never meant to be God. Those things were never meant to be the things that you place at the center of your life. Jesus is the only one meant to occupy the throne of your life. And I believe that 2020 is going to be a great year for you as you focus in on Jesus. God is going to do great things in your life. So we're going to focus on Jesus. How do we focus on Jesus, Pastor? How do we do that? What are some practical things that I can do to help focus in on Jesus? One of the easiest things you could do is every day spend at least 15 to 20 minutes with God, reading his word, every day. But I don't have time. Yes, you do. Can I just have a respectful pastor rant? You got 24 hours in the doggone day. What you mean you don't got time? Let me tell you what our time oftentimes goes to. Y'all ever got on social media and said, I'm just going to go check something right quick. 45 minutes later. Anybody ever had that happen to them? Come on, y'all are lying if you ain't. Come on. We got plenty of time. The question is, where does our time go? Where does our energy go? We got time. Make Jesus the focus. I'm not telling you to give Jesus your whole day, but we can give him at least 15 to 20 minutes a day. We can start our day seeking him in prayer. Before you get up out of the bed, when you hit that snooze button 5 or 6 times, Lord, thank you that you allowed me to hear this alarm for the 5th time this morning. Thank you. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in. Thank you that you've given me activity in my body. You've given me eyesight. You've given me feeling. You've given me resource. Thank you for the food in my refrigerator. Thank you for the clothes in my pantry. Thank you, God, for all the things in my closet. Thank you for my kids in the other room. Thank you for the house that I'm living in that has some heat that's halfway working. Thank you so much. We got plenty of opportunities to give God worship and to give God praise and to seek him with our face. So what I'm asking us to do is to fix our focus, because what you become is what you behold is what you become. The more I behold Jesus, the more I focus in on Jesus, the more I become like Jesus. Start every day seeking God in prayer, reading his word. One of the things that my wife and I, we're doing this year, we've never done this type of plan, but we're actually going through the whole entire Bible together every day. Reading scripture. So by the end of December, we should have read through the whole Bible. Pray for us. It's a lot of scriptures each day, especially when you start getting like Leviticus, and this person did that, and this person did that, and then you start getting all these Hebrew names that you can't pronounce, and Methuselahu, and he lived to be 969 years. God, dog, that's an old man. But every day, get in the Word. Because you get in the Word, God's Word gets in you. Every day, seek God through prayer, reading and studying God's word. When you come in here on a Sunday morning, don't just let God's word come in here. Don't let it stay here. I fear sometimes that our word, that the word that God shares with us, even on a Sunday morning, it stays here, but it never goes here. God's word can't just come here. It has to come here. I'm afraid that sometimes even in our society that because there's so many different distractions, you know, you got your phone on you right now and you can get a text message right now. It can literally distract you from what it is that God is speaking to you. We got to fight for focus. You got to fight to stay locked in. This is why for me, like, I try really my best not to even read scripture on my phone, because, like, for me, I can get distracted very easily. Text message, I was reading about Jesus. He's walking on water. Oh, snap, this person did what? I gotta go old school, bust this thing out, and start here. My wife got me this Bible. I thought it would be appropriate to preach from it because it's called the Jesus Bible, NIV, Jesus, Jesus. Fix your focus. Every day, get in the Word. If you gotta go in your bathroom, parents, and lock the door to read the Word, and these jokers come, Mommy, Mommy, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Please keep me near the cross. I'm not opening up this door for anything. Then you start seeing little fingers coming up under the door. Oh, my gosh. This is real life. This actually happened recently. Like, Lord, please just give me some space, please. I feel the enemy encroaching upon me right now. But no, all seriousness, every day, man, seek God. Seek him in prayer. Meditate on the word that you hear on Sunday morning. Apply it to your life. Attend. Make this the year where you say, you know what? I'm not skipping church service on Sunday like talk about anymore. This is going to be the year where I set a new paradigm for myself, my family. This is going to be the year. And I'm already off to a good start. I got perfect attendance in Jesus' name. We good. Studies have actually shown that the average person in America attends church service in a given month, less than twice a month, around once a month. I believe God wants to do greater in your life. And what I want us to do is flip that statistic for us, where we don't have that statistic to describe our life. No, no, no. We're the ones who are at the very most we might miss once a month. Every week, I'm seeking God. I'm intentional. I don't care if you got to come in here dragging. You get here at 11:59. You get here at 12:10. I'm here in Jesus' name. The enemy tried to stop me, but I'm here because I want to fix my focus. I want to get in alignment. I want to get in a connect group this year. We talk about it all the time that God never intended for us to do life alone, but to be in relationship with other people. Because that's how we not only grow in our relationship with God, but that's also how we become sharper. And you need people around you to encourage you. Some of the reason why we've experienced some defeats in our life for some of us is not because the opportunity for victory was not there. It was because you had the wrong people around you. I'm trying to lose 30 pounds, but my best friend continues to bring me Krispy Kreme donuts. There was a problem. You're not helping me, BFF. You're not helping me. Don't make me cut you. No. Maybe we got to take inventory of the people that are closest to us. Are they helping me stay focused on Jesus? I'm not saying to get rid of them. No, because I believe God's placed you in their life for you to have an impact on them. But the people that are closest to you, are those people helping you focus in on Jesus? 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's all about helping us to focus in on Jesus. Fasting, meaning I may have to cut some things back. Meaning I may have to clean some things out. One of the things my wife and I were doing all throughout the holidays, maybe like some of you guys, we were cleaning out the house like left and right. Throwing stuff away, giving stuff away to make room for more of the stuff that we have received and to also make room for more of the stuff that God wants to give. And sometimes the reason why we can't receive what God wants to give us is because we got too much junk in our life that's occupying the space for the good stuff that God wants to give. Won't nobody say amen, but that's the truth of the gospel right there. Maybe you need to take inventory of some things that are in your life right now, some habits right now that are in your life that are just plain getting in the way. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and let us focus or fix our eyes on Jesus. There are some things in our lives that are tangling us and getting in the way of us focusing on Jesus. But let this be the year where we are going to detangle, can I say it, declutter our lives so that way we can focus in on Jesus. So that way this will be the year where Jesus is the greatest and the most person, the person who has the greatest influence on us, the one that we are focused on the most, not more than our jobs, not anything else. We are focused on Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's it. Jesus is my focus. But not only is my life's focus to be on Jesus, in order for Jesus to become greater in my life, it also means that my life's purpose has to be for Jesus. That I'll not only live for him, but now I want others to know about him. So here's what John says in verse 29. He says this, talking about the bridegroom and the bride. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. Watch verse 30. He must become greater. I must become less. I want you to notice what John does here. John equates himself to the friend, he says, who attends the bridegroom. In our tradition of marriage in today's time, that will be the equivalent of the best man. So John, here's what he's saying. I'm just the best man. Jesus is the groom. His church is the bride. The wedding ceremony, we ain't come to see the best man. We ain't come to see the one standing next to the groom. No. We came to see the groom and what he wants to do. John is sitting here saying, my job as the best man is to point all the attention to Jesus. That's it. That's the whole purpose of my life. It is to point people to Jesus, which is why he says in verse 30, I must become less and he must become greater. John's whole life, his whole ministry was summarized with one purpose, pointing other people to Jesus. That's it. That was his whole life's mission. Everything he did was connected to that one thing. Point people to Jesus. His whole life's mission was that other people would know Jesus and not himself. He knew that his life's purpose was not for people to know him, but for people to know Jesus. In other words, let me say it like this. It is not about me. It is about Jesus. It is not about you. It is about Jesus. Tell the person beside you, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about pointing people to Jesus. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is somebody who speaks on behalf of someone else. A greater authority. An ambassador goes and speaks on someone who's the greatest of authority. Watch what he says next. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead, watch this, on Christ's behalf. On behalf of Jesus Christ, I want to introduce you to him. On behalf of Jesus Christ, I'm going to show you how much he loves you. On behalf of Jesus Christ, I want to show you how much he poured out his love for you on the cross. On behalf of Jesus Christ, I want to help you understand that he can save you, that he can heal you, that he can free you from your addiction, that he can set you free from your bondage. On behalf of Jesus Christ, I've come to bring you good news. That's what John is saying here. That's our life's purpose. It's to point people to Jesus. That's why we exist. I'll say it like this, that the purpose of life is to know Jesus and to make him known. That's your life's purpose. I just saved you thousands of dollars in counseling trying to figure out your purpose. You can go get counseling for other things. But the purpose is taken care of. Your purpose in life is to know him and to make him known. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. That's why God created you. So let me say it again, like I said in the beginning of the message. Let's make Jesus great again. Let's make him known. That's why we planted this church 5 years ago, so people can know Jesus. This past year, we saw over 40 salvations, 40 people giving their lives to Jesus. Come on, somebody. People knowing Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what God wants us to do. It's for us to lift up his son, because when we lift up Jesus, Jesus says these words, when I am lifted up, I'll draw all people to myself. When we lift him up higher in our society, when we lift him up higher in our culture, when we lift him up higher in our family, Jesus has a strange way of drawing people, men, women, children, white, black, rich, poor, drawing all people to himself. We make Jesus known in every sphere of life. So on my job, I want to make Jesus known. In my family, I want to make Jesus known. At the barbershop, the beauty salon, I want to make Jesus known. God, would you open up opportunities for me to be able to have Christ-centered conversations where you can get the glory and I can give somebody the hope of the world, which is your son, Jesus. Whether you're working out at Planet Fitness, and bless God and kudos to you, you've been going 3 days already. Come on, somebody. You are committed. If you haven't worked out yet, go tomorrow. But when you're there, ask God for an opportunity to tell somebody about how they're loved. Ask God for the opportunity to invite somebody to church. Ask God for the opportunity. God, would you strategically place me with that person in line to have a conversation with them at the store? You thought that the cashier was just being slow for slow purposes. No, 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 no. God placed you there because he wanted to strike up a conversation. Man, why does person take us so long? Man, I don't know, man. Golly. Oh, God, this is an opportunity. But let me tell you somebody who's always on time. Jesus. And it may be corny, but it will work. Ask God for every opportunity. You're at your job. God, would you open up a door for me to be an influence, to be a source of encouragement to people on my job? I know some of us are dreading to go back to work tomorrow. You've been on break. You're like, oh, gosh, not again. These people. No, those are the people that God has placed you around to influence and to point people to a son. If you're a stay-at-home parent, ask God, God, would you show me opportunities and show me ways in which I can connect and engage with people who don't know you? Would you open up the opportunities, Lord, for me to be able to use the things that I love to point people to you. We use everything at our disposal to point people to Jesus. Everything, every hobby, point people to Jesus through it. Every interest that you have, use it to point people to Jesus. If you like to work out, do it in Jesus' name. Use it as a ministry opportunity. You're on your job. Use it as a ministry opportunity. I want you all to know today that all of you here are ministers of the gospel. God has placed his Holy Spirit on the inside of you if you're a follower of Christ, and he has sent you out to go tell others, just like he did John the Baptist, about Jesus. And God wants to use it all to point people to Jesus. Case in point, most of you guys in here, you've heard me talk about basketball and how I love basketball, and some of you guys have been on the receiving end of the skills that the Lord has blessed me with. Curtis. Oh, man, that's my guy. but I'm always asking God, could you, like, use this as an opportunity to connect with guys? And so every Saturday I'm always playing basketball at the YMCA with a whole bunch of guys. They don't know Jesus. They're always cussing, and, you know, it's loud, and, you know, fights are always getting ready to break out, and I got to be the peacemaker and get ready to break it up. And, you know, hey, guys, come on, man. Like, look, y'all ain't on scholarship. Ain't nobody getting paid. And, you know, it's like. Meantime, I'm ducking, like, hey. But it's opened up the door for opportunities to have conversation and build relationship with them, right? And so God use what I love to do to reach people. And then recently, a good friend of mine who recently became a coach at Kickinson High School, coaches the JV team, he reached out to me and he asked, he was like, hey, man, like, look, man, I really want to develop our guys here, and I want to help them become men of God, building character. I don't want to just teach them basketball. I want to help them succeed in life, and I want your help. I need your help. Would you mind being the chaplain for our basketball program? And it was like, yo, God, I never would have imagined that you would take something that I love to do, basketball, and use that as a way and as a segue to give these boys the gospel. And now it's led to opportunities and conversations and building up relationships and laughing and joking with them, but them being able to share and them being able to open up, and lives are already beginning to be changed. And I can't wait for them to be able to come to the church and for them to be able to have encounters with Jesus. Why do I say that? I say that to help you understand, if you would lay everything that you have at your disposal to Jesus, he will use it to reach people. He will use it to transform people's lives. He will take the things that you love to do and use it to reach people. And I don't know what you're good at. I don't know what your skill is. I don't know what your gifting is. But what I do know is that God wants to use it, and it is not wasted. That God wants to do great things. He wants to use you. He wants to use your words. He wants to use your actions to reach people. This is one of the reasons why at our church we're always encouraging you to take the next step. Some of you guys have been coming here for a while, and you haven't used the gifts that God has given you to serve in this church and through this church. I want to invite you on that journey, because God wants to do greater in your life, but he also wants to do greater through your life. And he wants to use you to transform the lives of people. And the way you can do that is really simple. It's by going to the growth track, step one. We got it today, right after service is done. And that begins your journey of finding out how you can not only become a part of our church officially, covenant member, as we call it, but also being on a team, finding an area to be able to serve. And even if you see that there's not an area that you're really gifted in, maybe that means that God's calling you to start that, to reach more people. I believe that God wants to do greater. I believe that God wants to make a greater impact in our community, and I believe he wants to do it through our church and through so many other churches here in Hampton and in Hampton Roads. But it's going to take all of us saying, you know what, this year I'm focusing in on Jesus, and my purpose is for Jesus, that I want to see more people come to know Christ, that 40 salvations, that was good last year. This year we want to see at least 80 or 100, 200. Amen. That's my son. Amen in me. I appreciate it, boy. That in everything that we do, we want to see people come to know Jesus. That's what John's ministry is all about. I am not the one. He must become greater. I must become less. I'm going to close with this thought. Notice what John says at the end of verse 29. Right before he says, he must become greater, I must become less. He says this. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of, everybody say it together, joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. What was John helping us understand? That when we focus our lives on Jesus and we make the decision to live for him and to help other people around us know him, we experience a joy unspeakable. We experience a joy that this world cannot give. We experience a joy that we can't find in more money. We experience a joy that we can't find in new relationships. We experience a joy that we don't find in accomplishments. We experience a joy that only God can give. When we say, Jesus, you are my focus and you are my purpose, he gives us joy. John says, this joy is mine and it is complete. When Jesus is greater in my life, joy is present in my life. And some of us have been asking God, I want more joy in my life. Would you show me how to experience more joy in my life? And God is speaking to you, I believe, today. When you focus on my son Jesus, and when you focus on being used by me for my son Jesus, that is when you will experience the joy that only I can give, the joy that this world cannot take away, the joy that this world can't give you, the joy that nobody else can give you, this joy that is incredible, this joy that is overflowing, this joy that is fulfilling, this joy that is satisfying. This is the joy that God wants you to experience. That just as this year is going to be a year of greater, it is going to be a year of great joy. And even though you go through mountaintops and valleys, I still got joy because my focus is on Jesus and my purpose is for Jesus. And I believe that what God is calling us today to do is to focus in on him, to make our lives all about Jesus. God, I want my marriage to be centered around Jesus, how I spend my money to be shaped by Jesus, how I love people to be shaped by Jesus, how I talk to people to be shaped by Jesus. My career choices, I want them to be shaped by you, Jesus. No longer do I want to do things on my own. No, I want to be led by you. I want it to be all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Is that anybody's desire today? That I want my life to be all about Jesus today? Come on, somebody. That this year can be a great year if you make it all about Jesus. Come on, somebody. This is the year that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or imagine. Let's all stand to our feet. God wants to do greater in your life. He wants to do great things in your life. He wants to open up doors. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you favor, but it all comes back to you focusing in on Jesus. Let's place him at the center. Starting now. Starting today. This will be the year that we focus in on Jesus. If Jesus doesn't want me to do it, I'm not going to do it. If it doesn't line up with the word, I'm not going to do it. This is the year. This is the year. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person right now. I pray, God, that this will be the year of great focus in Jesus and us fulfilling the purpose of Jesus in our lives to tell other people about him and how good he is. I believe in faith in the name of Jesus, God, that you are doing great things right now in this place. I believe, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you're transforming our hearts. Father, we repent. And we confess and we are sorry that we have made other things more important than your son. But today, on this first Sunday in the month of January, in this new year, 2020, we make a commitment and a promise today to say that this year will be all about Jesus, that we will focus in on Jesus and on nothing else, that Jesus will impact everything that we do and everything that we say. God, we turn away from things that will mess with our focus. We say no to things that are not like you. We say no to sin. We say no to brokenness. We say no to bondage. And we say yes to your son, Jesus Christ today. This will be the year that we focus in on Jesus. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you have not said yes to Jesus, maybe you have not made him the center of your life, you have not given him your life, today I want to give you the opportunity to do so. If you're here and you're saying, I'm going to give him my life, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to just lead you in a quick prayer of faith-filled prayer. But if you're here today, no matter what your age is, no matter what your background is, it does not matter what you have done. In Jesus Christ, you become a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. If you're ready today to say yes to Jesus on this first Sunday, to start your year off right in relationship with God, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose back to life to give me life. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are my Lord, that you are my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. And everyone said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the great things that God is doing. Come on, for those who said yes to Jesus. Come on, y'all make some noise. Amen, somebody.